Hello, hope everyone's having a nice spooky season. We're here for episode 2 of Essential Gamers Late Night Edition. I'm Essential G, aka David. With me is Arthur, aka RDJ.
What's up? How y'all doing? It's gonna be a good day today.
Are they gonna learn today?
They're gonna learn today. They're gonna learn today. I'm sorry. My cat literally just ran across my desk as I was saying that.
He's the third guest. Today we're going to be talking about a topic you might have heard about, but if not, you're definitely in for a treat. It is the Hinterkaifeck murders, which happened in early 1920s in Germany, in Munich, Germany. Shout out to Munich. Never been. And since it's so long ago, you know, the police weren't doing shit.
Yeah, so we're talking about the Hinterkaifeck murders. And essentially, like David said, this occurred in northern Munich, Germany. Right after World War I, actually. And what'd you say, David? 1922? Right? The early 20s? And so... Before we just wanted to introduce the environment. Before we get started with that, though, we'll introduce the characters. So as we're talking about the murders, like before, during, and after, the audience will know what who the characters we're talking about are. Mm-hmm. So we have the victims. We're gonna start off with Andreas Gruber. He's up there in the age, 63, and he was the head of family. These are the residents of the Hinterkaifeck farmstead, by the way. We have Cazilia Gruber. He's the wife of Andreas.
Is it Cazilia?
What did I say?
I think I said Cazilia.
Cazilia, right?
I think it's just like Cecilia. Cecilia?
Cazilia?
There's Cazilia. No way it's Cazilia, dude.
All right.
Name is that.
Yeah, Cazilia. No. dude, what? I don't know.
we're gonna, let's just say Cecilia, because if you say Cazilia at all, I can't take it seriously.
All right, we got Kaz Gruber, the wife of Andreas. Yes. And then we have the daughter of Andreas and Cecilia Gruber's daughter, Victoria Gabrielle. Victoria is like the 35, and she's actually widowed. But she does have two kids, who is also named, Cazilia. is also named Cazilia, who is, her 7-year-old, daughter named after her grandmother, Cecilia. But honestly, we're just going to refer to them as old, what do you want them to be called, David? Cecilia?
Let's say Cas.
All right, Cas for the old one, yeah.
And Cecilia for the child.
Cecilia for the child? I guess that works, yeah. And then we have the son, Joseph. 2-year-old infant. And also, Victoria's husband was Carl Gabriel, but he was allegedly killed during World War I. He was a soldier. And then, let me just repeat that. Carl Gabriel is the deceased husband of Victoria Gabriel, and he died during World War I. And then we have someone completely outside the family, which is their maid, Maria Baumgartner, who is newly hired at the time. Before that, we also have, we might not really mention her too much, but previously, like 6 months prior to the murders, they had another maid name. You can say that name, David. Because how do you say
that
name?
It's like Christian's Rieger.
Christian Rieger?
Christian's Rieger?
Krezenez. Rieger. I'm not okay.
All right, so the previous maid was Rieger, and the last fun character we have is Lauren Schlittenbauer,
and he's a neighbor.
We'll get into a little more about him later, but this happened, like I said, in 1922. March 30th was kind of when things started developing. Andreas, the father, had mentioned to his neighbor, Schlittenbauer, I think I don't know if they're near anyone else. It's kind of like out of the way.
No, that's correct, actually. So, Les, Lawrence Schlittenbauer was the almost like next door neighbor, but he was 500 feet away from the farmstead from our research, and literally like a hop, skip, and a jump away. But he also talked about it with other various neighbors regarding like some weird oddities that happened on that same day.
When you talk about, yeah, you just talk about the neighbor, he had these footprints in the snow from the forest. They had a shed in the back of the property and its lock was broken. And it seemed to be like rummaged through. Andreas claimed burglary. I don't know if anything was missing. And also the key to his home was missing. And apparently on like the same night that he's talking about all this, either Cecilia or Victoria ran off in the middle of the night and the family had to like search around. Although that was like according to the school teacher, so I'm not really sure.
So I was wondering about this when I was researching this. I'm like, I couldn't really find anything either about why these guys like ran away. But I guess it was just, they just wandered off in the middle of the night. But yeah, from what I did read was that the only reason anyone really knows this little fact at the end where Cecilia or Victoria ran away, one of the two, was from the school teacher, because the school teacher asked, allegedly, Cecilia, like, she was like really tired at school, and then I guess Cecilia just spilled the beans, like, oh, somebody ran away in the family, and that's why I'm so tired. But I mean, we can only say so. Like, that can only be so much truth. There can only be so much truth from that. You know what I mean?
What? Why are you so tired at school today? Oh, my sister like ran off in the middle of the night to get a midnight snack. She got lost in the forest. Oh, okay, that's nice.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I was just searching for my family member for like the entire night.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't even come today.
On top of that, though, happening with, I guess, the search for this family member, Andreas also comes across a newspaper while he was searching around the farmstead for either Cecilia or Victoria. And the weird thing about this newspaper is that there is no way that it came from his family or anyone else from town that he would have known to have this newspaper. So it was kind of like an outside source newspaper, and it was just a very strange thing to him because he's like, where did this newspaper come from? It couldn't have come from town. It must have come outside of town. On top of all the weird occurrences with finding footprints coming from the forest to his property and not leading out of back to the forest or back to town, or just towards his homestead, no footsteps coming out of there, and losing his key and the attempted burglary within his barn.
I don't honestly don't remember if you mentioned it, but a cow got let out and Andreas suspects it was let out on purpose, but not really sure why. And on top of that, I think the previous maid and Andreas also both heard footsteps in the attic, but they never found anything in the attic. They just heard random footsteps. At this point, I would have left.
Dude, I think it's so hilarious that this dude, Andreas, is just like, literally, the proof is in front of him, right? He saw footsteps coming to his farmstead, so he's like, wow, that's really strange. First off, the fact that he saw and thought that was strange was good eye on him. But he didn't have the wisdom to be like put two and two together, right? Where he's like, oh, we got footsteps coming in here. We got an attempted burglary on his shed, and he's missing his house key, and he's hearing footsteps on the on the attic of his house, and he's also pretty sure that his cow is not like. Someone's letting out his cows at the same time. You would think that he'd be like, wow, someone's in my like homestead trying to like screw with me right now. But he's just like, all right, whatever.
Someone's trying to mess with my cows. Read my newspapers.
Mm-hmm. It's literally like today. It's literally like those scenes in the show, right? It's like, wait a minute. The footsteps. The attic. The key. I'm going to bed. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's just like, well, done all I can do.
I'm too tired for this shit, man. My granddaughter just ran out. I'll deal with this shit tomorrow.
I told my neighbor about it. I don't know what else you want from me. It's like 63-year-old man and just like a bunch of children and women. He's just like, I don't know, man. I'm retired.
Yeah, how does that conversation even... Yeah, like, yeah, his neighbors too, right? He's telling this all to his neighbors, and the neighbors are just like, wow, that's really weird, dude.
They're like, oh,
they're
man.
They're not like, yo, you want to, like, stay with us for, like, a couple nights or something? Like, you want to bunk up with us? That seems kind of dangerous. I don't know. There might be someone hiding out in your attic or some shit. And they... No, but the neighbors are just like, oh, dude, that's weird. Anyways, here's some fucking... here's a brew. Here's a brewski.
Crack open a cold one.
Mm-hmm. Crack up cold... Crap, we're gonna call him over the boys, and then comes back.
Yeah, he should have just gone over to crack open a cold one, because the next night, they're all dead. What really sucks though, and we'll kind of be getting into like the details, but the maid Maria had literally, like, their new maid had just started that day, and now she's just like murdered.
Dude, what a shitty like first day.
I mean. It was our last first day.
Yeah, right. Was Maria Baumgartner came through? It's like, man, this is my new start. We got some wonderful kids. We got these two old grandma and grandpa, and we got like my friend Victoria. It's gonna be a great day. And then gets yeeted like that same night.
I just imagine like, oh man, time to start fresh in my life. And then it's like, oh hello. And he's like, all right, for orientation, there's footsteps in the attic. Ignore that.
Yeah, there might be someone like. Around trying to like plot our like demise, but like I think it'll pass over.
There's someone rummaging through our stuff. Can you just reorganize it?
Yeah. It's like, hey, can you fix that lock?
Yeah, it's broken. I don't know who did it.
Yeah. It's like, anyways, this is fine. But yeah, that was March 30th. This is literally, this all happened in like one day and that night. And so the next night, March 31st is when the murders actually took place, and all six Hinterkaifeck residents, the Andreas, Kaz, old Kaz, grandma old Kaz. Victoria the daughter, her two children Joseph and Cecilia, and Maria Baumgartner the new maid, all passed away that night.
Yeah, it sucks. And in the thing to note is Victoria, the grandma, Kaz, Cecilia, and Andreas were all their bodies were stacked up in the barn. They died there. And then after, apparently, the killer went to the house and killed Maria, the maid, and the two-year-old. I gotta be honest, I don't know why you do anything to the two-year-old. I mean, to be fair, once you killed five people, I guess you just lost any sense of humanity at that point.
Well, I don't... Yeah, well, I don't know. I just feel like in the heat of the moment, right? It's you like I'm no murderer, but like I guess if you're in the heat of the moment of murdering,
just like, for clarification,
just for clarifications, I've never murdered anyone in my life, but yeah, you kill like five people. What's like 1 2-year-old more, right? And in the heat of the moment, so and on top of like, yeah, 2-year-old has eyes. He could have saw what happened. He needed to kill all loose ends, right?
I just imagine like if he doesn't, and then this 2-year-old's like, oh, I keep having the same dream every night.
Oh, and it's like becomes some sort of like 1930 or 40 like drama. It's like, oh my god, I keep having this dream of this man. And then the plot of the movie is just him solving the mystery that happened like 20 years ago. That's essentially what's happening. He doesn't want like he doesn't want the kid to like rise up and take revenge on him.
This is what Inception was based on. They had to go into the dream, figure everything out. who did this? What the?
He didn't want his. He didn't want his story to become a revenge story. Anyways, so the autopsy showed that all the victims were struck multiple times in the head by some object. We'll talk about the murder weapons later, but it's kind of tragic too because apparently young. Cecilia, the 7-year-old daughter, she apparently wasn't she didn't die instantly from being clobbered in the head by the assailant. And it's shown that there's evidence of her still living a couple of hours after the event happening, because there were clumps of her hair in her hand reaching towards the... I don't know about that part, but she was, like, pulling out clumps of her hair because she... I don't know. She was trying to... She just sustained a major head wound, so she probably wasn't in the rest of mind. It took... She was suffering, essentially, for a couple of hours after the event.
I don't want to envision that scene. Just pulling your hair out in this, like, pile of bodies.
Dude, that's so tragic, actually. Yeah, well, she's a 7-year-old, man. She's just, like... She just got hit in the head, and now she's sustained head wounds. Doesn't know what's happening, and is just laying on the ground waiting to die. Yeah, this dude had no chill.
Dude, yeah, he gets free home, free newspapers, and he's upset.
Yeah, actually,
ungrateful.
That's actually so true, because there's evidence of the murderer living in the house for a couple of hours, or not a couple of hours, a couple of days.
A few days.
Yeah, a few days. Of just chilling in this house of six people who he just murdered. Which is what we're going to talk about now, the aftermath of the murders. And that the bodies weren't discovered for around 3 to 4 days. And I actually got to give credit to the neighbors, because I feel like today's neighbors, I don't know. For me, I feel like if you were murdered in your home, you wouldn't like be discovered for like a couple weeks. These neighbors actually went over to... they actually started noticing missing the missing family, because for one, they didn't go to church, and for two, because young Cecilia was missing school, so they already kind of weirded out by that, because of course during the time period, religion was very sacred, moment of congregation for the town, and multiple people actually tried stopping by the family, or by the farmstead, trying to call to the family. But no one was answering indoors. But at the same time, the neighbors thought that maybe everything was okay, because, like we said earlier, how there's like evidence of the murderer living at the home. Like when the neighbors came by in those 3 to 4 days, they noticed like smokestacks coming out of the chimney, and signs of like food being eaten when they peered through the windows.
Yeah, I think that's what makes this one so weird, is like, he was still there for days after the murder. Just imagine killing his whole family. Oh man, I got this whole place to myself. And he's just tending to the cows. And everyone's like, I guess it's fine. There's smoke coming from chimney, right? I see food in the home. And even later, apparently like a repairman came. He tried to, you know, get a hold of the family, being like, hey, I need to work on this, yada yada. And the home was locked, but he could hear a dog. And he still decided to do the repairs anyway. He was already there. It's like, whatever. But on his way out, he noticed the barn door was wide open and the dog was tied outside near the back door. But he had just heard the dog was inside and the house was still locked. And he informed the neighbors that he couldn't contact them, but he did the repair job anyway. So he just let him know, hey, I don't know. I didn't talk to him, but I guess in case they talked to you, I worked on the job anyway. And they're like, oh, thanks for letting us know, man. Little did he know.
Dude, what a repairman. He really came through. And the repair dude really just came through and was like, hey, I've come to repair your stuff. And he couldn't find anyone. He's like, I'll just do the job anyway. he completes the job, and he has the honor to like go up to the door and be like, hey, want to let you know the job's done. And then decide to go to the neighbors.
It took till then to for the neighbors to like call the police and like check it out, because he must have told them. They were like, what? Andreas always answers the repairman.
Dude, something's up. That's actually really spooky too for the repairman. You don't think he like noticed something when he's like, he hears this dog in the back door of the house inside, and then after his job he hears it tied over to the barn, and he didn't like take two to like, I don't know, check the barn for maybe somebody being in the, like, yeah, that's another thing. The barn doors were completely open after the dog was tied out. Like someone had to, during that period of time when the repairman was fixing whatever he had to fix. So like the murderer must have had to have come out of the house with the dog to open the barn doors and to tie the dog near the barn. So I feel like as a repairman, wouldn't you think he would like look inside the barn to be like, hey, to check if someone was like in there for him to like let him know he did the job? But maybe he did put two together. He like looked at that barn. He's like, I don't know if I should go in that barn, and went over to tell the neighbors.
He honestly probably just assumed like, oh, I guess they missed him or something. It's not like cell phone or anything. He knocked a few times. He raised his voice. Nothing happened though. Okay, I don't know.
He got an A+ for effort.
Maybe assumed just like the daughter or something was home and like they didn't want to talk to him. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he was like, all right, well, I'm going to fix your AC anyway.
But anyways, then... after the neighbor, or after the repairman, I mean, went over to the neighbors and let them know, it's like, hey, he went to do the job. And also to let them know, I guess, that the barn door's open. The neighbors finally went over and discovered like the four bodies within the barn and called the police. But unfortunately, within that time period of them calling the police, essentially the crime scene was disturbed because of the coming and going of various neighbors within the household who essentially ruined the crime scene, because now they can't tell, like, oh, was this like pen here because like a neighbor came through and accidentally dropped her, or was it part of the murder? You know what I mean? Like, now they can't, it's harder to put like a consensus to what happened due to the disturbance of the neighbors.
Yeah, I feel like they just didn't know about forensics, and they're just walking around like, oh my god, this is terrible. And then one of them sits down and is like, well, if no one's gonna eat this steak, I mean.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I see a skit one time like of how bad like, because they didn't have forensics back in the day, like back they used to like be like, oh, like I remember seeing this, like, I don't know if it was an SNL skit or whatever, but like the skit went with like the detective saying, this is like a 1920s detective or whatever, and he's like, oh, there's blood all over the place, that's gross, but did you write the outline of the murder victim? Good job, we'll probably need that.
Nice, man.
Did you put police tape? Nice, we got it. All right. Girl.
Everybody, the case is solved. But yeah, fortunately, just the crime scene got messed up. The police were there, just looking around like, man, why did all of you have to do this? And then apparently, like, the neighbor was just eating food, and they're just like, what are you doing? He's like, you know, I mean, no one else is gonna eat the food.
Yeah, I'll actually talk about that more. But yeah, there was a single neighbor that, after he discovered the bodies, he like chilled around and went through their fridges and just started eating food all over the crime scene, leaving crumbs all over the place, not really giving a shit about the sacredness of like six people actually dying at the farmstead waiting for the police.
Yeah, I feel like that gets I feel like people weren't a huge fan of the family, so we can explain that later. Maybe it makes more sense. But the police investigated. They did not find the weapons until like a year later when the farm was demolished. And they said that the killer had probably been hiding on the property for not only a few days prior to the murder, but a few days after. And they found human feces and crumbs in the attic. So, you know, the footsteps, the maid wasn't crazy. Andreas wasn't crazy. He was living up there. He or she.
Wait, dude. What is... So let's just assume that he was living up on the attic. Where the hell did he, like, piss and shit?
They found feces in the attic, dude. He's just going.
No, yeah, they found it. I guess that same night, right, on March 30th, allegedly we can assume that the person came up there or was hiding somewhere on the farmstead. And I guess he could have probably held it in. Because I'm, like, thinking, like... This dude's like maybe chilling up in the farmstead for like essentially like a day and a half, right? And you don't think he would just like, you don't think when Andreas went up there, or they would, someone would be like, yo, is that like piss coming down like the ceiling right now? Or like, yo, anyone smell?
smells like shit.
Yeah, it smells like shit out here, man. Someone, you fart? Like, what the? smells like actual dog shit in here.
It's like, oh, yeah, that's just my attic smell.
Yeah, right? And no, wait, it'd be even worse, actually, if, like, well, like, because, like, the murderer was, like, living at the farmstead, since he probably wouldn't really want to go outside, he probably was using the attic as a restroom that entire period of time. Because he had, I don't know, he probably was just like, because back in the day, right, they used outhouses. They didn't have actual bathrooms in the, or they did have bathrooms, but they didn't have toilets in the house. So he probably was just, do they? I don't know. I'm not sure how primitive like 1920s was.
I thought you were the expert on 1920s plumbing.
I don't know. I feel kind of bad because I'm like, imagine these guys have been like Neanderthals when they clearly had like telephones back in 1920s.
100 years ago, the Neanderthals were Roman. Now today we have Apple.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, the unfortunately they also ruled out robbery. Because there were large amounts of money just easily found around everywhere. And all the guns the family had owned went missing following the murders. I don't know if neighbors took them or other people and it just wasn't reported, but apparently those were gone too.
Yeah, that's really strange on why the guns were taken. Like, there's really no, like... Because even with the... Because we're going to talk about the theory soon, right? We don't even really... know why anyone would be interested in the guns, and plus no one really discovered the guns after the event. They kind of just go missing, and from that point on they're just kind of unheard of.
Not the only thing that goes missing. Whoever is supposed to be in charge of like the inventory at the police station does not do a good job. But anyway, the theories, which are kind of limited, but maybe kind of give an idea into the motives. There was an incestuous relationship between Andreas and Victoria. A little creepy. Kind of weird. And that was a crime, so they were convicted in 1915. And I guess Andreas was he on like probation for a year or go to jail?
Can't imagine what the court case would be like. Yeah, because these guys are getting convicted for incestuous relationship. You know how awkward a court case would be like, where you're just having a regular court case and the judge is like, so let me get this straight, you, the daughter, are having sex with the father, correct? Yeah, okay, good, guilty.
All right, you're going to go to jail for 1 month because you're the daughter.
And
he's going to go for a year. You bunch of animals.
You bunch of animals.
Apparently, Victoria mentioned being abused by him. And the previous maid, Rieger, told the investigators that she walked in on two of them during it. And she's overheard multiple conversations of them talking about the relationship.
Yeah, so...
But the other thing I remember hearing, too, that was weird was she walked in, and the girl was like, oh, we wouldn't have been doing that if we knew you were there. It's like, oh, I would hope so.
Yeah, well, we have, like, conflicting stories on this part, yeah? Where Victoria is mentioning to her neighbor how she's being sexually abused by her father. But the previous maid, not Maria Baumgartner, but the other one, Mrs. Rieger, actually has witnessed them having like intercourse and like openly talking about their relationship. Like, I don't even know how that would go about, like, with their daughter talking with their father. It's like, so should we get married? Like, I don't even know how like they would even talk. Like, I'm curious as to the conversation that Mrs. Rieger actually like overheard like these two talking about. Like, so can you just imagine Victoria going up to freaking his dad of all people? It's like, so should we have kids, or like, what do you want to do with it? Like, it just seems so bizarre to me.
So where are we going for the anniversary trip, Father? God.
When are you gonna pop the question, man?
Oh,
how many kids should we have?
I can see both stories happening.
Honestly, are we gonna tell Mom?
Oh no, because I can see her being like, I'm not really into this. He's like abusing me, and at the same time, it's like they're having these conversations. Maybe she's
I just feel like that's something you have to like
okay say. With it. I don't know.
Like, you just have to tell that to your neighbor. It's like, because the neighbor probably looked at her and be like, "Yo, I heard you got you were sentenced guilty for sexual incestuous relationship with your dad. Is that true? Like, in Victoria's position, she's probably just like, man, I could just tell her that and ruin my reputation in this town. Or I could just say my dad's sexually abusing me. That makes a lot more sense. I'll go with that. I'll go with that that claim. That way, I don't completely ruin my reputation.
Yeah, it's a weird dynamic, and there seems to be bad blood generally to this family. The Andrea's brother, Bernard, inherited the farm after the murders, but he sold it to the Gabriels after they argued, because the Gabriels wanted that farmland, and he sold it on the stipulation that the place would get demolished. And when they demolished it, that's when they finally found the murder weapons. The, what was it? Oh, it's like a mattock. What's a mattock? Is that an axe?
It's like a, it's like half an axe, half a pickaxe. Is all right.
My fun combo.
My impression of it.
And a pen knife. So I guess just like, as a pen knife, just like a small knife.
Just like a regular shiv.
Classic prison shiv.
Yeah, classic prison shiv.
But yeah, so they found the weapons then, which I think they investigated the forensics later. I don't know how useful it was, but they don't think Bernard, the brother, had killed the family, because it doesn't really make sense since he was going to inherit it but then sell it. If he wanted the land, I don't know why he'd sell it. Unless he just wanted the money just anyway. But the Gabriel family also doesn't seem likely to commit the murders when they couldn't really rely on Bernard selling them the property. So it kind of seems like a whole dynamic that there's no evidence.
So yeah, like, people could say foul play, but it's like David said, it just doesn't make sense for the situation. And you could claim that, oh, maybe Bernard Gruber did it, the brother, because he wanted to inherit the farm. But if he wanted that, then he wouldn't have sold the farm to the Gabriels after doing like something atrocious as like murdering his brother's family. Just like, you wouldn't just do it for a dollar, right? You would have done it to actually take like the land and what have you with the land, and do whatever you wanted with the land. And it wouldn't make sense, like David said, the Gabriels, because of how they couldn't rely on the fact. They couldn't rely on the chance of Bernard not selling them the land. So overall, the claim for foul play in terms of like relatives killing the family is very unfounded. Blin. Very, yeah. There's like no intent, right? Was it?
It's not a real motive.
No,
it's
there's no motive.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like a very reliable motive.
And there's also the Gump brothers, Adolf and Anton. They were accused by their sister of doing it on her deathbed. And apparently they were investigated for years, nearly convicted, but the statute of limitations ran out. But supposedly the sister was like known to tell these random far-fetched stories, and there was no evidence anyway that really pointed to them. Maybe they were just nearly convicted because the police, you know, the town's like, you gotta find these guys, and they're like, ah, all right, we'll pick these two, this crazy lady told us. But there's no motive or anything really with the Gump brother, so
damn,
that kind of fell through.
This sister really ruined her brother's lives on her deathbed, because like David said, after she claimed that Adolf and Anton Gump, two unrelated people in the case, but she just, I'm sure the Hinterkaifeck murders like reached the newspapers and then overall Germany about like these six murders. So she just probably was just like, yo, let me screw over my brothers real quick. And literally on her deathbed gave a testimony saying how Adolf and Anton Gump killed the family. And then literally and nearly get convicted. Yeah, like these brothers literally had to deal with like constant interrogations, constant like public speculation that these guys, like these were the guys that killed the Hinterkaifeck farmstead people. And essentially over the course of 20 years, just have their entire lives ruined And it's only after all this happens that the people realize, wait, the sister has a reputation of not taking like not taking this seriously. So she really just basically did this as a practical joke, and that she never really cared about like the implications of this joke.
The best pranks last for 20 years.
Dude, literally, she's like on her last dying breath, and it's equivalent of saying, "That's what she said," and then dies. Or some joke.
We've been trying to reach you about your extended car warranty. Just dies. Then I don't know. I feel like people were kind of grasping at straws at first, especially with like the scene so messed up, his lack of forensics. Some people were saying Victoria's husband, Carl Gabriel, had caused the murder, but there was multiple people were like, no, he died. We saw him die in the trenches in the war. And people are like, I don't know, man.
Dude, that's how
and even then, there's no motive.
Everyone just starts saying literally everything. It's like, yeah, what if the husband did it? You mean the one I died on the front lines with? Yeah, sure, he did it. Or what if literally anyone who's accusing anything?
But yeah, these were all kind of like side theories. The primary culprit, at least at the time, was Lauren Schlittenbauer, the neighbor. Lived near the farmstead. Lauren's wife had died in like 4 years ago, prior to the murders. That was the same wife who Victoria talked to about her relationship with her father. And apparently Lawrence had a relationship with Victoria, and Joseph was the son of Lauren Schlittenbauer, the neighbor, and Victoria. And Lawrence also wanted to marry Victoria, but Andreas would never agree. He's like, nah, that's mine. I got dibs. And then Lawrence spread the rumors that Joseph's product of incest. There was a whole nasty dynamic there. And Victoria apparently was like, I guess she's just gonna stick with Andreas and try to sue Lawrence for money for their son. And Lawrence was not too pleased. So we got motive. We got a close relationship with the family members. We got a lot of motive. How you feel about Lawrence?
Well, this is essentially why we probably think it's from the research we did, he's potentially involved within the entire thing. For one, he's like David said, he's a neighbor. He's actually one of the neighbors who originally discovered the four bodies on that same day, 3 or 4 days after the murders took place. But the weird thing about that, all right, is on top of all the relations with the family, he, after discovering the four bodies within the barn, he proceeded to immediately begin essentially unstack the bodies and essentially looking for, because it was that you mentioned it, right, David, that
Joseph was his son,
that he basically was going forth and back and forth with that, saying, oh, Joseph is his son, but then also telling people, oh, Joseph is a product of incest. Well, at this very moment, it seems it was very convenient for him to do this, because he could just claim, and he did claim, that the reason why he was unstacking and essentially desecrating the crime scene was to look for his son, Joseph. And so that we can't really tell on whether or not he did that because he was truly looking for his son, Joseph, or he was doing that because he wanted to create a reason for touching the bodies, just in case there was any sort of evidence that might have pointed him being there at the crime scene. And then at that point, if the police ever claimed, or I went up to him and say, hey, we found, like, I don't know, we found a piece of your hair or a handkerchief or whatever that belongs to you, he could be like, oh, I must have dropped it when I was unstacking the bodies looking for my dead son.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to... I feel like it's hard to hold that against him. It's like, no, that's my son. Like, and you're like, well, now I feel bad. All right, touch the bodies. But there was no evidence really found against Schlittenbauer, even though they were the main, you know, they would have familiarity with the farmstead, and they were near their clear motive. They were near the house.
They just had no concrete information aside from the murder weapon and the, Yeah, like the two murder weapons, the knife and the mattock.
Like, because they, like, the weapons, they found those, and those were the only pieces of evidence to go off of.
But because
not necessarily that, those weapons implicated Lawrence.
Mm-hmm. And essentially, you can't even really use those murder weapons being connected to any of, like, the neighbors or whatever, because as we said before, or David mentioned, on that same night when Andrea started noticing some funky stuff going around his farm, he noticed his shed was broken in. So it was most likely actually Andreas's or the Hinterkaifeck's mattock itself. So they can't even connect the mattock to anyone because it actually just belonged on site to the Gruber family.
Lauren's just like, oh, can I borrow this axe from your shed? Oh, yeah, no problem, man. Little did they know. But yeah, there's... Oh, what'd you want to say?
Well, I always thought it was kind of weird that it would have been helpful if Andreas just mentioned what direction the footsteps are coming from. Because I'm pretty sure when we were researching it, he said it was coming from the forest. But, like, is that forest, like, near any other, like, settlement? Like, is Lawrence over there? Like, over near the forest? That way it could be like, oh, if it came from that direction, that means it must have been at least, like, someone on that side of town or whatever. Or some like, lead, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's just not a lot to go off of. Because there's so little evidence, like, there could have just been a stranger in the farmstead that just wanted to kill.
Dude, this just tells you, like, how easy it was to commit crime back in the day. Like, back in the day, man, when, like, we had, like, a Wild West, and people were just, like, so... There's no, like, cameras, there's no, like, forensics, there's literally no way to identify whoever would commit a crime. So people would literally just come through banks and rob banks and tell people, like, they call me freaking the Red Bandit and my name is so-and-so. Like, they actually just straight up told people and tried building a reputation. That's how easy it was to commit crimes back in the day. It's kind of grateful.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice that we have forensics these days.
Yeah, it's definitely come a long way. And unfortunately, back then, the main piece of evidence you have to go off of is the skulls, which is what I'm talking about. The police can't seem to keep track of things. Is I don't know how the skulls of the family got misplaced, so not only could they not be buried, they lost the main piece of evidence.
I feel like we're missing a little, like, some background knowledge. The reason why the police department had the skulls in the first place is because, I guess, they're in around this time period when police were doing investigations and whatnot. The skull was believed to be the part of the body that held the most evidence for a murder investigation. So it was common practice whenever a murder occurred to remove the head of the victim before they were buried in order to essentially just keep it for preservation and potentially use it later in down the road to see if they can figure out the murder. I don't really know what information you could derive from, like, a skull. But yeah, like David said, when they essentially took these Hinterkaifeck family skulls, they got missing on the way toward the Munich morgue.
Yeah, the morgue or the police department, whatever it was.
But to be fair, World War II was starting, so there's some other world events going on during this period of time. It'd be easy to lose some stuff.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, I don't really understand this thing with the skulls and evidence, because I just imagine, like, a guy getting murdered and, like, oh, what happened? Oh, he got stabbed in the stomach and he's dying. And they're like, all right.
This detective's Larry at the...
Give me that head, though.
Yeah, right? There's detective Larry at the crime scene. It's like, oh, we have six dead bodies. All right, man. Cut their heads off. Let's get back to HQ.
find the axe so that we can cut their heads off.
Get the HQ with these heads. We need to do an analysis on them stat.
Yeah, but unfortunately, because it's so long ago that despite from what I read, there's some forensics today that have been done and teams have apparently they have very strong lead. An idea of who did it, but because it was so long ago and it's past, you know, statute of limitations or anything, they don't want to harass the family today, like the descendants, because obviously they have nothing to do with it. So haven't released the names.
That's actually kind of interesting in terms of like, I guess that means like the guy had to have died, right? Whoever actually committed the crime. Because
yeah, it's 100 years ago.
Well, it's 20 years. No, I'm saying, is it like today? Like, this is like very recent, like modern time type of thing.
Yeah, this is like late 2000s.
Oh, I guess that makes sense then, because the dude must have passed away at some point during that period of time. I don't really know if anyone would ever like give the family shit for it, though. I feel like most people in Germany wouldn't even really bat an eye to that if they did release a name.
I mean, yeah, I don't know how this case is viewed in Germany, where it happened. A lot of people have talked about it because it's not only does no one know who really did it, but I think it's just weird to everyone. Like, the killer was apparently around beforehand, just stayed after.
Actually, it's probably a good idea. That's what makes it so unique. There's so many videos now, like, detailing this incident now, of the Hinterkaifeck murders, that I'm sure modern times, there's, like, renewed interest in it. And the internet being the internet will just literally shit on the families that are descendants of the murderer.
It's like, once a killer, always a killer. That was, like, my great-great-grandfather. No excuses, you're banned from Twitter. But, yeah, it's... either way, I don't think it... I mean, I want to know who, but I don't think they're ever going to release that information, and we're never going to have an official idea. But I definitely wonder what they used for forensics today to figure it out, if they did, since all the evidence was tampered with and the skulls are missing and so on.
I'm sure they had, what is it? They had the murder weapons. So there must have been some, I don't know how DNA forensics works, but maybe they could still use that to this day. But even then, like, even if they did use forensics, don't you have to be like the system or something to really show up when they do forensics like that? So there's a fat chance that like even the murderer would be in like some like fucking sperm bank, right? Like 80 years later.
Oh my god, no.
They like test the blood off. They take the blood off this Madoc, right? Or like they take like, I don't know, a piece of hair or whatever from this Madoc, and they match the fingerprint, and they're like, wait a minute, 2010. How's this guy in the system? happened like 100 years ago.
I guess it wouldn't even have to be like the original person. Maybe if the DNA is like a match to someone today. Close enough. Even then, I'm not sure the...
I don't think that's how... Well, I don't
how that works.
Yeah, DNA forensics. It's like magic, right? Like,
neither of us are experts in forensics. Yeah. That's a disclaimer. We are not forensic experts. But I don't know. Yeah, Schlinbauer was the main culprit. Besides that, I really don't... There's like no leads.
Yeah, we gave all this evidence, and a lot of, I mean, it really does seem like we're kind of pointing to Lawrence Schlinbauer as, like, the culprit, but in all reality, it's equally as likely in terms of incestuous relationships, so someone maybe in town was like, yo, we gotta kill, like, these sinners to foul play to two brothers, Adolf and Anton Gump, I mean. To Victoria's husband, to secret lover Lorenz Schlinbauer, like it's equally as plausible of all those theories that some malicious stranger, just a complete stranger, stumbled upon the farmstead and just committed the deed. That's how much evidence like was left after this period of time. Like that's how little evidence that came out of this during that period of time. I mean, yeah, like David said, they did solve the murder, but it's a little 100 years late.
Yeah, and even then, it's weird too, because you also might, if no one likes them, what if like the town just doesn't care, and then this is like a town effort to get rid of them, but I don't think they would do that to like the children or anything, like their neighbors. So it's, and then I guess the main piece of evidence kind of going against Lawrence is like, how much, you know, how cold do you have to be to kill your own 2-year-old son?
Mm-hmm.
So
it was a crime of passion of not getting sued by Victoria.
So yeah, we just, no one really knows. I mean, at the end of the day, it's probably the Wendigo. So
yeah, you know, the shit that we talked about last episode, if you guys watched it, the Wendigo. That's all you did.
They listened, yeah.
The Wendigo came through, man, and wrecked shit. He's the one that shat in that attic. He's the one that... He's the one that...
Justin Trudeau the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. We don't officially know. I mean, I guess one team of forensics knows, but we'll never know.
Oh, dude, we gotta hack the mainframe. We gotta find out who actually did it. We gotta go through the Germany FBI, whoever the Secret Service, and go through their records.
Oh yeah, what? I don't even know what their secret like operatives are called in Germany.
Yeah, actually, I wonder what it is called. But yeah, don't know what it is.
Let's not. Yeah, I mean, let's not go on that tangent. I was about to list like all the ones I could think of. But it wouldn't really go anywhere.
The KGB. Wait, that's Russian.
KGB, Russia, like MI6, London, or Britain. Yeah, wait. I've never heard of the German.
Yeah, they got their own James Bond.
Oh, man. I was about trying to say James Bond, some sort of German accent. That wasn't going to go well. But, yeah, that's pretty much it for this case. I mean, definitely let us know what you guys think, if there's like another theory that we missed, whether it's out there or not. And I want to hear about it. I want to know what happened.
Yeah, this one was kind of short because of how little information there really was. So we really would like to hear you guys' input if you do happen upon any other finer details. I am still interested in this case, but it really didn't give us, going to the internet, didn't really give us much evidence of what else could have happened.
Yeah, well, my money's on the Wendigo, but if you guys want to let us know what you think, our Twitter handles at Essential Gamer L. Check out the YouTube, Essential Gamers Live. We'll hopefully be having this on all the platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so on. But yeah, let us know what you think. My name's David, Essential G, signing off. Arthur, you want to say anything else to them?
Nope. My name's Arthur, RDJ. Y'all take care.